Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot and Sweaty July. I'm Vinny Caravella, holding down Hot and Sweaty July here in the basement. Alex Navarro, how are you?
Freezing at the moment because ridiculous. The AC has been running pretty much nonstop because it has been just sweaty ass outside for the last week.
Abysmal. Mm-hmm. Abysmal. Jersey has become one of the circles of hell. Brad Shoemaker, how are you?
I'm sitting here in a fleece.
You're in a fleece and Alex is in a hoodie.
I used to wear this fleece skiing. It's that kind of fleece because, look, Carl is here.
Oh, Carl's here. The one who makes everything so nice.
Carl's here and you ski in the slopes. You know what I'm saying?
The great air conditioner in the sky is here.
Holds up, blots out the sun, Carl. I'm sitting here being like, man, it's probably getting back to that point where I got to use like makeup again because I'm just going to start sweating all over.
There is a little bit of a glow. There's like a little, just a little tiny sheen coming off you.
Time to take out my powder again for the hot boy summer in the basement here. It's like, honestly, look, it's like 90 something and extremely humid right now. And it is. I walked the kids this morning. Actually, my wife did. I went to go get coffee. It's just miserable. It sucks. It really sucks.
There's no version of this that sucks. I don't care if you're in the dry heat version of this right now. That still sucks for a different reason. All of this sucks.
I came home from being away yesterday, and the house was like 87, and it just took so long for the second floor to like cool down. And that air conditioner was just cranking, and I was like, should I open a window with an exhaust fan? Is that the better way to do this? Like, how do you get this hot air to just leave this place? Do I let the air circulate first? Thinking maybe I buy one of those gigantic exhaust fans. You have an exhaust fan in your attic, right, Alex? But you don't run
it?
Yeah,
I do.
Do you run it?
Yeah, we run it. I mean, we're not up there very often, and we really only run it, I think, kind of during the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
My parents have one of those, although it's in the ceiling, like it's in the regular ceiling, not in the attic. I don't know if that's what you mean.
Okay. I think yours is like in the wall, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's built into the window, basically, of the attic.
Right. Well, they just have one of those gigantic exhaust things put in right in the middle of the house in the ceiling.
Is it one of those ones that like those like balls that rotate with the hot air where it's like the slatted ball? You know what I'm talking about? You see them on the top of a lot of buildings.
I think it's just a fan, regular just a fan. Bladed fan. I'm not sure. My dad isn't like you though. Even sweltering southern summer, the AC is the last resort.
It's not a last resort for me. It is definitely one of those things, though. Like, look, I don't know what your guys' electricity bills are, but when mine starts creeping up past $300 a month, I'm like, oh, come on, man.
I budget for it. I'm very much just, like, at this point, like, I remember what our power bills were last year. I allow a little bit of increase because, I mean, the temperature is just going to increase with each successive year. But yeah. I budget in basically between June and August that like, this is going to suck. I'm just okay with that because I don't want to be uncomfortable.
What kind of AC do you have, Vinny? Do you have central?
Yeah. I have central, yeah. Okay. So it's zoned so that we can put the first floor on or the second floor. So we don't have to have the whole house going at the same time. So at night when we're sleeping, we turn the first floor off. And if nobody's on the second floor, we'll usually turn it off. Though sometimes we keep it on because that cold air just comes right down to the first floor. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, you know, the other thing is like we try not to, if it's super hot like this, who wants to cook food in an oven? You just put your oven on. You're basically just have a heater on next to you. So that makes like, all right, well, salads, which is, you know, a nice healthful thing.
I like a good salad.
I love a good salad. But
bust out the air fryer or the toaster oven or both.
Yeah, air fryer's not too bad. The does exhaust some heat, let's say. But the big thing is like no baking. So it's like, you know, sometimes we make some cookies or a little like a little treat during the week. All off. Summer's
no treats
July's,
for you.
July's ruined it. Yeah. Nothing.
No treats summer. Here we go.
No cookies in July.
Yeah. No cookies in July. And I'm not a big ice cream fan. Like I like ice cream. Ice cream's okay, but it's not my preferred treat of choice. I'm just not a big like sweets person.
You know what? I'm kind of with you. Ice cream's fine, okay, but good. I don't like. Yeah.
What is wrong with you both?
You just shake your
what
head.
Is wrong with you?
Look,
it's
I don't
ice cream.
I don't scream for ice cream, it turns out.
But I will
do you
scream
at least
for
make like a little utterance, like a little like yay.
I'd be like, all right,
like it's ice cream.
I know, but like I'd much rather go for some like delicious a brownie. Give me a brownie over an ice cream.
You know what makes a brownie better? Ice cream.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I suppose.
You're not wrong.
I've had some air conditioning discourse on my feed of late. I guess I had seen these before, like in Japan and stuff, but I didn't know what the name was for them. But these ductless mini split units, are you familiar with those?
Yeah, that's what I got in my garage.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, because like the argument people were making was like, oh, it's so much better to be able to control your AC on like a per room basis. Like you can decide which rooms need the cooling and just do it that way. But
yeah, my cousin that I actually just saw this weekend did that in his house when he put in AC, was basically, you know, maybe not every room, but in sections of the house, you put these things.
You could at least do it by floor, if nothing else.
The thing I sometimes get confused with, and please somebody can feel free to correct me, I'm allowing any of this, is the difference between a ductless mini split and a heat pump. And are they categories of things or not? Because I've seen heat pumps applied to a bunch of different things. And then I've also seen them applied to some of the ductless mini split things. And ductless mini split basically just means you have a head unit inside the house, and then outside is another unit that does the air exchange. At least that's what I have. I think you don't have to run ducts in the house.
Right. I think these are big in Europe as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They're supposed to be very energy efficient. Yeah. And the transfer is supposed to be very good. I did see criticism. And again, this could be propaganda, because like everything that makes any kind of money, you will have vested interests trying to dissuade you one way or the other. So big aircon is going to say, nah. And the other side's going to be like, yeah, that in the winter, in really cold winters, the efficiency rate goes really down for the heating part elements of it, and that it does not do as good a job heating very cold places. That it's better as a supplemental heat in places in New England for very cold winters, but in milder winters, the exchange is very efficient, and it's much better than using a traditional air conditioner, is what I saw. Again, could be complete propaganda, because I've also seen other people scream bullshit at that, and that is just a lie. So I don't know.
It's 2024. Just uncritically repeat every piece of information you come across, and never pause for criticism or to acknowledge error, and just keep going.
That's right. That's why not? Who's gonna hold me accountable? And if you do, how long could your attention span possibly last?
You're like eight factoids past that by now.
I think my brother-in-law they have a little place upstate, and this always sounded cool. Drilled basically to the core of the earth and sunk like a geothermal heat exchange thing. Not obviously to the core of the earth, but it went down pretty far, and they'd have like a heat exchange element that goes into the earth. That they use like a loop down
tapping
there.
Tapping into that Gaia energy. I see how it is. Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. That always sounded super cool. We saw some sick windmills, the sickest of the windmills, the turbines. And I was like, these things just look cool. They just look cool. There's probably somebody who would make a very good case for why they're shit or why it's terrible. You know, I've heard that if the wind stops blowing, grandpa can't watch his TV.
Mm-hmm,
but
true. Mm-hmm.
I think they just look cool on like a horizon. They remind me of they look like the future to me.
Yeah, it's like SimCity or something, you know. Yeah. It's like, all right, I've teched up to.
Yes.
I teched up to like mid 21st century renewable tech
and they're just
level.
They're so huge. It's like Starship Destroyer levels huge of like, man, mankind can build really big things. And these blades are just massively, and they're just turning. I don't know. I always found them to be impressive.
Yeah, people act like they're an eyesore, but I really wonder if that's just that ideological position. You know,
I think at least some of it is.
Knee-jerk anger at thing you have been trained to hate.
I think they're super cool. Just don't put them up in my backyard.
I see how it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I think okay.
I think they're great. I just don't want to see them all the time. Don't put them up near
fucking
me.
NIMBY Vinny over here.
You know what they're better than? You guys have probably seen it. Did you ever see those like they try to mask like radio towers and cell towers with like pine needles, like fake? They make them look like a fake tree. Have you ever seen these? Yeah, yeah. They're like cell towers, and they'll like put like
yeah.
It looks like
they don't
a
do
really
a good job when they do that.
It looks
I
like
found.
A really bad Christmas tree. Like it looks like the worst fake Christmas tree, and they're like, it's just a cell tower, man. Just live with it.
That looks really dumb.
They're
it's fucking stupid.
They're so bad. At least they're not doing that yet to the turbines.
I found one that looks like a cactus.
Is it really tall?
No, that's pretty tall. That is a pretty tall. I don't even know if they get that big. But that one, you know, that one looks pretty good.
Okay. Does it have needles on it? Like spines?
It's not super close up, I would say.
Yeah, like those fake tree ones I always thought are like, what are we doing here? I don't think so.
Come on,
but
man.
Anyway, hot. And yes, if I could get, if I could do it all over again, would I do the ducks in this house? I don't know. Because we use radiators for the heat. We don't use the ducting for the heat. So I don't know.
Can I just tell you before we move on the term I have come across in looking for pictures of this stuff? Foliage.
Oh boy.
Oh wow. That's actually not bad.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
Are there more than like cell towers that do foliage?
Oh, that's kind of all I'm seeing so far.
Okay. I mean, technically, I guess any fake plant would be foliage.
Yeah, I guess. Artificial tree foliage.
Foliage.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's booty out there.
Yeah, it's swamp ass out there. It's bad.
It is like living inside of an ass crack, and I'm not a fan.
It's so bad. We on our trip up and down from upstate New York, we just air conditioned it the whole way, and you know, didn't see a lot of cars with their windows open.
No,
on the way.
No, I would imagine not.
Is it true? This is probably like a MythBuster thing. I think it actually is a MythBuster episode. It's worse to drive the car with the windows open, right? For air efficiency, is that aerodynamism?
God damn it! Start putting too many syllables in a word, I just lose my mind. Aerodynamism.
Okay.
Yes, it is worse. It is not great for that.
Oh, fuel efficiency. It's worse.
It creates drag. Oh, interesting. I never even thought about that.
That's what I had heard. I didn't know if that was a myth or not.
I don't think it's like a huge difference in a standard like sedan or, you know, like just basic modern car. I don't think it makes like a massive difference, but there is like a little bit of drag that is created by having the windows open.
I'll tell you, I'm not a huge driver. I'm a big passenger, but I feel more comfortable driving with the windows open and like an arm on the dashboard. I feel like, that's just how my comfort zone, if I'm going to be behind the wheel, is I will, even if it's hot, I will just roll a window down. Again, not a big driver, don't drive a lot. I want to make it as comfortable as possible.
I also don't like the smell of a car, generally speaking.
You would not like the smell of my car.
No, new car smell is actually one of the most offensive odors to me.
Okay, well, my car doesn't smell like a new car.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm looking to air that shit out as soon as it happens.
I thought you meant there were like weeks of fast food garbage piling up in there or something.
Depends on the car, but yeah.
Mine is fine.
I don't usually leave a lot of garbage in there.
I cannot truck with trash in the car.
I did when I was a teenager and I had a car. I don't anymore. Now I don't even like people eating in the car, which my wife gets very mad at. I'm just like, let's just pull over and eat.
Super with you. Even when I'm not driving, I feel bad for the person who is trying to manage driving and eating at the same time. It's like, let's just stop.
I think I get nervous, which is the thing that makes my wife annoyed, is like, she's like, hey, are you guys cracked open some pretzels back there? Can you pull the bag up here? I'm like, you can eat when we stop.
Oh, that's fine, though. It's not like she's eating a sandwich or something. She's just reaching into a bag.
So you're on her side on this. Yes.
On this one, I am, yeah.
She's on her side. All I can think about is like, oh, the pretzel dropped, and then suddenly we're digging around for a pretzel that dropped, and then you're upside down on the side of the road underneath seven tractor trailers that then jumped on you. So pull over. We'll have some snacks. It's okay. We're in no rush. Where are we going?
What's your wheel posture like when you're driving? 12. Really?
Oh, 10 and 2. 10 and 2.
Do you do the 10 and 2?
I start off at 10 and 2, and then as I get more comfortable, I'm probably a 12 and arm on the window.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a, let's see. My two are like, I'm like a 530 and a 730.
530, 730, 70. Like bottom of the wheel. I mean,
if you've got a turn, obviously.
Generally
straight roads, it's kind of like hands in the lap, like holding the bottom of the wheel.
Okay.
Or if the window is down, like you said, the other one is sort of like left arm up on the window while holding with one hand, kind of stuff.
I
gotta keep it cashy.
I don't go bottom of the wheel. That's almost like knee driving. That's like
that's just like, crazy.
Yeah, that's just bananas. I used to do arm. Now I do arm resting on the, if it's not too hot, arm, because sometimes you cook your arm, mm-hmm. arm resting on the window. But I used to do the full on grab the roof, you know, elbow,
like
elbow
reaching
to,
up?
Yeah, elbow to roof grab. Yeah. And then just, yeah, just hold on to the top. I am a very, unfortunately, and I apologize to anybody that I drive with. I'm a little bit of a nervous passenger as well, mm-hmm. but I cannot get over the thing. And I know if, God forbid, an accident were to happen, you're supposed to stay loose. But I am like always tense up, grab everything and inhale sharply. Like every time my wife makes a left turn and I, after it happens, I'm like, oh no, I'm supposed to chill and flow with water. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old and my inner ear is bad or something, but it's just the perception and turning and everything just feels, humans shouldn't be driving. That's it.
Well, fair.
Yeah. Don't outlaw all driving. We don't have to go anywhere.
We had someone come down our street, I think on Thursday. No, it wasn't been Thursday. It must've been Wednesday, I guess, last week. You know, we're just sitting in our living room, whatever, and we hear kind of a thud outside, and we're like, whatever that was doesn't concern us. But then we hear someone hollering a bunch, and we're like, oh, good, something bad happened. So we go out and look out the window, and it's these two, I think, teenage boys, one of them, like, just hollering a bloody mess, not injured in any way that I could see. I looked, and it wasn't bleeding or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he was driving what I assume was his parents' car.
Uh-oh.
And I think he had whacked a parked car nearby. Not like the other. I looked around. It didn't look like either car. Like, it looked like neither car had taken heavy damage or anything.
Yeah.
But his airbag deployed.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And though once that deploys, you got to get that car towed. You can't do anything with it.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, you're not driving anymore. An airbag deploys, does it disable the car in terms of driving?
I don't know if it fully disables the car, but it basically, like, the steering, like, you can't just
pop
that thing back in. Like, you have to get it replaced.
Okay. So
they called the tow truck and everything, and you could tell, like, the way he was hollering was very much like, oh, I just fucked up my parents' car, and I'm in a lot of trouble.
Did I tell you guys about they mentioned this on the, I can't remember, it's been kind of a long week and a long weekend, but I think it was last week or the week before, there was a little fender bender up by me, and then if I mentioned the story,
you might have.
Me.
I don't remember.
There were two people in the car, and one of the people just walked away, and then like went on their way.
You told me that. Yes. I don't know if you said it on air, but yes, you did tell me that story.
One person just kind of kept walking, and then like left, and the other person, the driver, went and then walked a bit and went behind a bush, for like a little bit, and then came back out.
Just needed to take a knee, you know.
That's something they need to get rid of.
That's exactly what I thought. Was
something
like,
needed to go in that bush for a while.
And like, I was standing out there just kind of watching, because I was setting up some of the, I think I mentioned this before, I was putting like cameras around the house, and it was like, I'm just a second too late. I was just about to put up these cameras. But I was like, that's drugs, right? That's probably drugs.
I'm going to say probably weed drugs would be my guess.
Probably weed drugs or something you don't necessarily want to have on you when questions start being asked. Or I was like, the other thing it could be is like, look, maybe you just really got to pee. Maybe you really got to pee.
Yeah, maybe,
not
maybe
after an accident.
Maybe that's why the accident.
Yeah, maybe you're just like, I got to pee. So
just fumbling with that Gatorade bottle, and that's what led to the accident.
Totally. And you're like, I look, this is going to be a long time. I'm going to go pee. We're going to be here for a bit. Man, that's...
Yeah,
that's those. Even watching those situations give me like, it's not Schadenfreude that I wish anybody harm, but it's like, oh god, this is the worst. Like,
yeah, I don't want any part of this.
I don't want any part of this. I'm like, let me just go inside. I don't even want to watch this. It's just like exchanging information. It's every time something like that happens, I think about like, should I get one of those like dashboard cameras on my car just to like get rid of the whole ambiguity of. Well, did you cross this? Did you see it's a four-way stop? I said it's a four-way stop. And then I think, like, I'm a shit driver. I don't know if I should have a dashboard.
I don't know if I want video evidence of that.
Self-incriminating on my car. But maybe it's for the best. I don't know. Did it give insurance breaks for, like, dashboard cams?
I don't know about cams. They like some insurance companies will do that thing where they have you plug in a device then it sort of like tracks your driving.
Oh yeah.
I tried that for a while and it was like fine. Like I never had any issues with it, but it also like drained my battery one time. Oh, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore.
Wasn't there? Okay. Again, talking out of my ass because it's just something I remember seeing. I thought there was some lawsuit against those things.
Probably.
For they were selling data. Of course, maybe they were selling data.
Oh, they almost assuredly were. And yeah, the thing is, if someone wants to buy the data of where my car has been driving, that I don't care about.
Sure. Sure.
That's
sure.
Fine.
We are nearly due, I think, for our next car. Our plan is probably to just drive this one until it ain't going to drive no more.
Mm-hmm.
But, we've been saving up since we bought this car, or since we finished paying off this car for our next car. I don't know if we've been able to keep up with the inflation of car prices, yeah. Which makes it sad because every time we are like, we have this much, and we're like, it always feels like we have half the amount for a car. Though we're not going to buy a new car, a brand new car. We'll buy a used car. But started making lists of things I want in a car and things I don't want in a car.
Mm-hmm.
What I want in a car, what I would really appreciate. I want that blind spot,
camera
warning.
Indicator.
Yeah, or a camera warning.
Almost all of them have some version of that.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Like even the Zipcars we get these days. Like I don't know how nice Zipcar goes on their cars. You know, like maybe they're actually nicer. I would expect them to be kind of like bottom of the barrel, but
they might just be default.
Yeah, or just kind of stock or whatever. But
a lot of tech that seemed exciting 20 years ago is now pretty standard.
Right. Mm. Like every random Zipcar we get these days has got blind spot beep stuff. And
does it come in handy or is it annoying?
I've
always found it very useful.
Okay. Yeah.
Like whenever I've rented a car or something.
But yeah. I'm sure some people find it annoying. That would be good. And also like the parking camera stuff that I've seen those cars with like the overhead,
yes.
It like makes that like fake overhead view of your car. So you can see everything. Seems like it's cool.
It seems like a lot of those a lot of the overhead is also starting to get really common.
Yeah. So that seems cool.
I don't need a new car yet, though. I am now reaching the age with my car where more and more things that are not the usual things you need to repair on a regular basis are starting to fall apart.
Mm.
Not anything like for instance, my check engine light came on for the first time ever, for
ever?
As long as I've owned the car.
Okay. Did they say what it was?
Yeah, I brought it in. It's like, oh, your oxygen sensor is failing. And it's like, that's not the kind of thing you need to replace very often. No. But it does cost you $400 when you have to do it.
Whoa, really?
Apparently, my car has a fairly unusual and expensive oxygen sensor. I looked at the invoice. It was not them jacking it up. It was like, the parts for this were very expensive.
Wow, okay.
But so they put it in and now I have a new oxygen sensor, but I feel like I'm now at that stage nearing 20 years on this car, probably at a year and a half from that, that those things will start failing. And I'm starting to think to myself, at the very least, it might be nice if we had two cars for a little while before this one dies. So I did start pricing out some like what do current Subarus, not my car, but like other Subaru models go for. And the thing is, a good, like, let's just say, you know, not even necessarily an EV, but just like, you know, a hybrid or SUV type thing, like crossover, costs about what my car cost new 20 years ago.
Is that good or bad?
It's not as bad as I thought it would be. The inflation is definitely a hit, but it is not like those cars, if I had to guess, probably would have been closer to like 20, 25 grand back then.
Yeah.
Now they're like
40
or 50. 35 at
most.
Oh,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely more expensive ones you can get, but I wouldn't need one of those.
And your car, I'm assuming your car will retain some of its value even when it is undrivable because of the make of your car, right? Because people
probably will
just take the engine out and just use the body and everything.
That's my guess.
Part it out. Yeah.
We'll see.
Brad, what do you have at home? What was there? What's your, a Civic or you have
some kind of? It's a 94 Civic.
94 Civic?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All the bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Power windows?
No.
Nope. Really?
Nope.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
Nope.
Seatbelts?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Anyway, driving. It was a lot of, on the way home, 4th of July traffic, which kind of stunk too because it was very hot.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Will got an Ioniq 5 recently.
Oh, yeah. I think that's similar to what Bacalar has.
Yeah, I think Bacalar has one too, right? Or says a sick.
Anyway, those
seem very popular, but I rode in it briefly.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
I like Backlar's car.
It's very smooth nice. Ride.
Got me thinking. Actually, so we did a tech pod about it if you want to go dig that up. But like I learned a bunch in the course of doing that. And one of the things I learned, electric engines way more powerful than internal combustion engines.
The torque on them is mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Just like off the line. Like they are just straight up more powerful. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
It got me thinking, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'm quite ready for something. Like, no, I mean, not ready for a car, period. Let's be real. But if I was, like, it's like, I'd like to drive another stick, you know, while they still make them. That would be fun. But then you start looking at, like, they're so much cheaper to fuel. They're so much more powerful.
Yeah.
Like, the just the basic nuts and bolts advantages are so much better. It's kind of hard to, there's still drawbacks. Like, you can still make an argument against having one, of course. But
so, like, as we look, and Alex, maybe you're probably getting into the same boat. You're kind of just, like, not fully committed, but keeping an eye out.
I'm just poking around now at this point, pricing things out.
We look, and, like, we're at the point now, too, Brad, where, like, I feel like every year the technology changes, not significantly, but enough to be like, maybe the next year model or the batteries or whatever. But I think I'd still go with a single car family. I would think I would still go with a hybrid over an EV. Someone who drives around to, like, you know, upstate for 4 hours or here and there, where we don't want to have to wait to charge for a decent amount. And I'm sure I know plenty of friends who have EVs that just plan the trip out and it's not so bad. But, you know, I think I would still at this point go hybrid until we get maybe a little bit better on the infrastructure for charging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably safe. Although I'm shocked at how fast that stuff's getting better. They got a Bolt 3 years ago, I think, Chevy Bolt. And then just trade it up to this. And in that time, like, it sounds like the charger network expanded dramatically.
Well, he's, like, also in, like, the Bay Area.
Yeah, I mean, California's part of it. But also, it's just getting more common everywhere. Like, Tesla is opening up their network to other manufacturers. The charging times is the other thing. Like, this one now has a thing that can charge to, like, it's very dependent on, like, what kind of charger you have and what kind of connector it's using and all kinds of stuff. But, like, it can charge to 80% in, like, 20 minutes now.
20 minutes on those super fast chargers.
Yeah, but if you have the right stuff.
You have to imagine in a few years that will just become a lot more commonplace.
Yeah, I really wonder in like 10 years what things look like in terms of the split between combustion and electric.
Totally. That's the thing is, like, I do keep an eye out every time we pull into a parking lot to see how many charging stations they have and also how full they are. Right. Like, they have four charging stations, but four cars are parked in them. Right. So like that's another thing. Again, I don't want to get too into it because I know there's a lot of hot and heavy debate out there about, look, it's also different, possibly different or possibly completely made up. I'm not in this world having one on the West Coast versus having one in New England in the winter. Like, you know, we've all seen the kind of like explosion of people posting things about all the Teslas died in the winter, right? And they can't start them up. I don't know. Who knows? Somebody knows. I don't know. I do know is I will probably wind up with another at least hybrid at some point.
Yeah,
if safe bet.
Yeah.
Although we've had to do a lot of driving recently and gotten a couple of CRVs that are hybrids and like I don't think I will ever get used to just sitting at a red light and like starting and the inch forward and hearing your car crank itself again.
The constant
re-cranking of the engine as you're stopping and going is just so weird to me.
So the thing that used to be weird to me was it used to feel like the car would just be off.
Right.
You know, it would just feel like the car died. But yes, now when I walk around and it always sounds like somebody's restarting their car when you're walking around as they get going. Our Prius is 2005 or six, and again, knock on wood, I swear we had people always telling us, not everybody, but oh man, your battery's gonna go, your battery's gonna, you know, you're gonna need a new battery. Still seems okay, like it's lasted a while. I don't know. When it's good and done, I'll do my part and throw it in the river where batteries belong. But for now it seems okay.
You just drive that whole car in there,
bury it right next to your well.
That's right. I'll sink it right next to the water supply. The thing that my dream would be, I would love to get, if I had unlimited funds, I would absolutely have an electric car with a big old solar array that would just be like charges at night, stores up in a battery, charges, and then the car hooks back up into my grid and can like power my house if I need to. Like that's
Oh, I thought you were putting the solar array on the car.
Hell yeah. And I'm also making the car out of solar panels.
Make an art car with solar panels all over it. That was another one of those advantages is there's like a lot of power companies are doing like time of use now, you know, and there are specific plans for people who with electric cars. Because like from like 10 p.m. to whatever is like is the super cheap time. So you just go and plug your car in before you go to bed.
I watched that video you talked about last time of the Scripps server. And then I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Wait, of the what? What'd you say? The what server?
I think he's the CTO or C-suite something of
Scripps. Yeah, I think he's Scripps? A CTO. Oh, yes, that's the company. Yes, I also I felt weird for creeping on his CV.
No, because I was like, who is this guy?
You went, I saw on the Discord, you went and looked up some numbers. This guy's a home lab, quote-unquote. Yes. He is spending something like $1,500 a month on power.
A couple of years ago he posted that, solar.
And that was even with, supplement. If you look at his car, he's got a massive solar panel deployment on his house. Yes. And even with that, he's still spending like $1,500 a month on power. Like, it's it's insane down there. It's like a data center.
But the one that got me interested was like, it is bananas. But he then talked about his electrical setup, and he's like going into detail in ways that I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
I looked up, he was an early Intel chip maker. You're an engineer. You come by this honestly.
Full-on electrical engineer to understand all the power stuff he's doing down there.
Totally. Yes. And he has so you mentioned the meter. He's got 2 meters to his house because he had two separate runs going, one for his normal power and then a totally separate line for charging the car that does time of use on the meter. So I was like, man, this is some millionaire bullshit, but also kind of interesting. And he's got that. I think this is the reason you even mentioned it that time. He's got that like Ex Machina style house of like it's in the middle, carved into a like hilltop bunker style thing. But it's like, I don't know.
Living the dream.
Look, if you are able to understand how to make a goddamn Intel chip from the like transistor level, okay. We're good. You're not like a crypto bro who got lucky.
No.
And like, you know, figured something out. You did it. Like
This guy has not made a forum sig with like every spec of every server he's got in his house that he proudly posts on every forum post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's just doing it. Like he's not there to brag about it. He's just there to do it. At the same time, watching that video, even I was just like, man, this is way too much. Like,
it's way too much.
Even if I had your money, I would not buy this level of ridiculous like servers on top of servers. Like even I don't need all this.
Would you not?
Probably not.
But you start with one, it just goes.
That's how it always starts, right?
It just escalates.
Like, what would I do with all that compute? I don't know, man.
Look.
What wouldn't you do?
You. This guy clearly is like doing some... playing with his quote-unquote toys, which are probably like way outside of like what you and he's probably some running some weird shit in there that is like, I don't know. It was fun to watch though.
Yeah,
it's fun to watch somebody. I was gonna say it's fun to watch somebody do what they love, but like it's a
you're
little
right,
bit
that's,
of a,
no it's actually not
well it was a little bit of like you watch something that is so far beyond even a reachable a goal, you know, that it's just like, oh, this isn't like, oh, I wish I could be there. This is like, damn, I did not realize people live like this levels. Remember that show, Lifestyles? Was it Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Robin Leach.
Yeah, they still do a version of that, or have we gone too far past that where the wealth gap has just caused people to be like, here's this person's address that you're basically doxing their rich house. So let's go.
It's just every day on social media now, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's what TikTok, like half of TikTok and Instagram is people just lifestyle posting and showing, look how rich I am.
Okay. Okay. Here's the inside of my house.
Yeah.
Anyway, how'd you guys have a good good hot dog? Did you guys watch a lot of hot dog eating competitions?
I did not.
Because that seemed to be what was on the cable channel.
I did not, but I saw somebody reached out to Joey Chestnut on Twitter a couple days ago. I think it was a Wings place.
He's retired, isn't he?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think he actually got taken out of competition this year because of some rule change or something.
He got DQ'd from something and it was like scandalous, I think.
Oh, but no. Okay.
I think maybe that's why this place was reaching out to him, because he wasn't competing and they were just looking for a publicity stunt or something. But it was some Wings place that challenged him to eat 200 of their wings.
200 is a lot.
And he was just like, all right, bring it on, man. I'm down.
Wait, He did.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Well, I don't. This was. I don't think they did it yet. But he sounded game.
Okay.
I think Buffalo there were bonus wings. To be fair, which are not wings. Come on.
Listen, now. It's still chicken.
It's still chicken.
It's like a chicken tender.
But it's not wing. Yeah, exactly. It's chicken tender.
It's chicken tender.
It's not wing. Nugged. Wings are a specific thing.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I agree with that part.
Especially when you're doing competition, like regulation eating, you need to be specific in your terminology.
If you order wings, do you eat whatever your hand grabs, or do you grab the like drumsticky part first?
Oh, we talk about that. There's a nice little wings place we go to near here. I prefer the drums and my partner prefers the flats, so it works
really?
Out. It works out very well.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know a lot of people that prefer the flats. They're just so much harder to eat. I've seen all the videos of the people's techniques of smushing the meat or doing
whatever.
You've
seen the vinyaki method.
I've seen a lot of methods.
Uh-huh.
I still just like the little drumsticky part, yeah, and then I'm stuck with the flat.
I'll eat both. I certainly will not turn down. I'll eat whatever. But
no, I ain't too good for it.
But that does tend to work out very well.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. There probably should be an even number in a basket, right? If you're they count.
You would think.
You guys get up to any other food shenanigans?
Yeah, I was going to say, talking about debates earlier between EVs and ICE engines and such.
Everybody's talking about debates for some reason.
It's true.
Oh boy.
Thank you. Thank you for getting it there. I appreciate it.
I have my own internal debate raging now.
Okay.
I don't even know if I can bring myself to say this. I might have a new favorite hot dog.
Okay.
I feel like I've been betraying my roots. Here.
Okay, first of all, what are your roots? What is your root hot dog?
So I've got a giant infographic in front of me. 31 regional hot dogs of the United States.
Yeah.
Regional hot dog?
There's many different hot dogs, Vinny.
Oh, oh my wow. Gosh. Oh,
and
no
ways
kidding.
Of doing hot dog.
I found my hot dog of record, and it literally is referred to as a Carolina-style dog here.
And I've had a Carolina hot dog before. Okay. They're good.
I've also seen it referred to as a slaw dog.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say, Brad... But before you get into it, I know that you probably have a lot of feelings about this hot dog. Maybe this hot dog has done it for you in years past. Maybe this hot dog...
He's not married to the fucking hot dog, Vinny.
But
he's not trying to divorce it.
If this hot dog just isn't performing like it used to, maybe it's time for this hot dog to step aside. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time for a new hot dog to come in and kind of do show us what that new hot dog has, you know?
Yeah. Last time I was home,
against the old hot dog.
It kind of sounds like there is.
There is an incredible local hot dog place near my parents.
Okay,
That's been there since the like early 90s.
Shouldn't be afraid of the new hot dog.
We went last time I was there. I think they're starting to fall off.
Oh no!
the founder sold the hot dog place after like 30 years recently.
Oh wow!
And,
okay,
and it was not the same
under new management.
It was not quite the same.
That's
what makes. What makes a good hot dog for
well,
you?
Well, so the hot dog record I've been talking about is chili, yellow mustard, onions, and coleslaw. That's it.
Okay. What kind of chili? Is it like just a meatless chili?
We always did Texas Pete as a kid.
I don't know what that means, but...
Texas Pete chili sauce,
it's a
I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a canned hot dog chili.
Okay.
Out here, it's mostly Hormel that I see, which I don't love.
Okay,
it's no beans. It's just it's like a meat chili
yeah, it's just
sauce.
The meat sauce, basically.
Okay. And you just kind of spoon it on.
Yeah.
Yes. I you know any decent hot dog place is probably making their own. I would guess.
Okay.
Anyway, that was the hot dog for my entire life. We tried making another hot dog this weekend.
What kind?
I think I might have. I think the Chicago dog might be my new hot dog.
Yes. I don't know why I'm cheering about this, but I will say I have gotten so much shit over the years for saying I love Chicago hot dogs, and finally,
Chicago hot dogs are very
they're fantastic.
So what can you describe exactly what the minimum for a Chicago dog is?
This list is a superset of what we've been doing.
Okay,
but the common list I saw everywhere was chopped onions.
Okay.
Tomato slices, not
raw. Yeah. Raw chopped onion.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Same with that slaw dog I was talking about. Like just raw, chopped, diced, like white onion.
Mm-hmm.
Tomato slices, not like diced tomatoes, but like actual like wedges.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like not huge ones, like little ones.
Yeah, like kind of thin ones. But we've been doing like two per dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
A dill pickle spear.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the spear, just like in laid there on with top the hot of the dog. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've also been splitting that so you can kind of go lengthwise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yellow mustard. And so we have not done the sweet pickle relish yet.
Okay.
We have these like sweet jalapenos from Trader Joe's we've been putting on there instead, which are kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the hot dog. It's sublime.
So hot peppers are also a regular contingent of the Chicago dog. Usually it's like banana peppers, like pickled or, you know, otherwise like made in a, or, you know, brined in a way that they have that sort of peppercini kind of flavor.
I was going to say, dude, if pepper, we keep large quantities of pepperoncinis around at all times.
Same.
So if that counts, then I might just slap that on there next time. That's a lot of tartness, but that's my favorite. So.
So I think they would sometimes do the peppers in place of the relish or the pickle.
Interesting. Okay.
And sometimes, like if you go to like Portillo's or something, usually what they are, they're the hot, like, you know, sweet peppers, but it's not the flat ones like they are when they're pepperoncinis. Like they're still bulbous and still kind of like they, you know, there's a real mass inside like still.
A bite to them. Oh, that's Portillo's whole thing, right? Is the Chicago dog? That's right. Okay, I had forgotten about that.
So I think I have a basic question. What is your base then? Like, what do you need to support this structure of dog and bun? Like, what
solid
like,
bun?
Yeah, it sounds like you need like, is this like a big foot long to get this kind of these toppings on there?
No,
standard. I mean, again, you're like the tomatoes and the pickles. You're like cutting pretty thin.
Yeah, okay.
We are at least like kind of like splitting them in half and kind of putting them along each side.
Okay,
it does get pretty top heavy in my very limited experience. Yeah.
Is this like a bite and everything collapses like off the back of the hot dog?
Not really.
Okay.
If mustard, it's constructed well, that will not happen.
Yeah, where's the mustard go?
Let's see.
Is it a bind or a topping?
Even with the Carolina, I always go mustard first. It's a binding agent.
Okay, yes. Right. It's the glue.
Then you throw your Lucy's on there, like the onions, you know, and those like, stuck in the mustard. It kind of helps cohere.
What's the last thing? What goes on top? The sauce? Another sauce?
For the Carolina one, it is mustard, then onions, then chili, then slaw.
Oh, slaw on
that
top.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
With Chicago, we're still practicing.
To be fair. Still learning.
But
you heard it here, folks.
Man.
We as a nation are ready to move on from ready to change hot dogs.
Chicago, they fucked up pizza, but they got hot dogs right.
But now I'm like, what if we just did like a hot dog tour for the rest of the summer? But that's like the last thing I need to be doing.
No.
Oh, man.
Thank you for not doing
that. You said 30 something?
In my pursuit of better physical fitness, this chart has 31 regional hot dogs on it.
I mean, is there a New York dog?
One of them is called a classic, which is literally just mustard and ketchup, which, come on. That doesn't count.
Is there a New York
dog? That's a
hot dog. Is there a Coney Island?
There's a Coney Island.
Mm.
Is that just mustard and ketchup?
Homemade chili, chopped onions, mustard. So it's actually just kind of a subset of the Carolina, except maybe different chili.
What's your least appealing looking hot dog on that list?
Hang on. There's also, I don't know where this chart came from. I'm looking for a source. Oh, actually, there is fine print, but this looks like a eighth generation JPEG that's been posted over and over. It's kind of hard to read the fine print here. There's also a New York system wiener.
Gross.
Does that mean?
Yeah, there you go.
The New York system wiener, although it's attributed to Rhode Island.
Okay.
None of this makes any sense. All right.
Meat sauce?
Okay.
I don't know what the difference is.
What does meat sauce mean?
I have no idea. What's the difference between meat? This is like an illustrated infographic, to be fair. Yeah. There's no photos or anything, but what is the difference between meat sauce and chili? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Maybe no beans?
This is meat sauce, mustard, onions, and celery salt, so there's also not too much difference
onions
there.
Really making a strong showing on all of this.
Listen, you need onions on a hot dog.
Yes.
So I do sautéed onions on hot dogs.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I'm seeing some of that on, in fact, well, okay, I'm skipping like eight other regulation hot dogs and just getting into weird shit now.
Regulation.
If you want grilled onions.
Yeah.
How about the reindeer dog from Alaska?
Sure.
Okay.
Coca-Cola grilled onions.
I've actually experienced some version of that before.
It sounds like a caramelized onion, yeah, so maybe it's got sweet.
Pour a little Coke on there while you're... So it's Coca-Cola grilled onions, stone ground mustard, and a part caribou hot dog.
Mm. Okay.
Is what they're saying here.
That could be all right.
So my hot dog, let's see if you can quickly find a match for anything close enough to this for a Jersey Caravella dog, is It is sauteed or grilled onions. It is sauerkraut, mustard, ketchup, and hot sauce. Maybe sauteed mushrooms if okay. I have some in the house. Is there anything on there? Is there any mushrooms on any of these?
This isn't Sirwell. I guess if I did like image text search, I could.
Nah, it's okay.
I'm not seeing any mushrooms anywhere. Did you say sauerkraut?
Sauerkraut, yeah.
Yeah, sauerkraut for sure. I'm with you on that. In fact, the Kansas City dog apparently says it's just sauerkraut and Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese. See, I used to put cheese on a dog when I was younger, but the calorie count just it's kind of skyrockets after a while.
I don't like it anyway. It just mucks things up for me.
Really, really needs to be a special occasion kind of thing. Good Lord.
Yeah.
The Sonoran hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You heard of this?
No. I've heard the name. I don't think I've ever had one.
I also have heard the name before. This is ridiculous. Like, this is the one that like collapses under its own weight instantly. Pinto beans.
Okay.
Grilled onions, grilled green peppers, tomatoes, relish, tomatillo salsa, mayo, mustard, shredded cheese, bacon wrapped hot dog.
Okay, is that a hot dog anymore? Like,
you need to survive in the wild for a week kind of food. Like, that is some, like, you are just trying to pack on the calories type shit.
Yeah, like, you're going on, like, alone and aren't going to eat for another 2 months. You might as well get that bacon wrapped?
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures. This is a large hot dog.
Like, at some point, just put that between bread and, you know, you've got, we're not getting into our hot dogs a sandwich, but you're getting pretty close on this one.
Yeah.
When you cook your hot dogs, Brad, I assume nobody here is talking about boiling dogs, yeah?
Not necessarily. Sometimes
I have. I'm not against it. It's just not the way I want to go.
Sometimes it'll be like put it in a pan with a little bit of water.
Okay. Like, but it still gets a pan fry.
Kind of let it steam as the water boils off and then kind of get a sear on the outside before you're done.
Oh, anybody here split their hot dogs? Cut them down? Okay. Anybody do the cross, like diagonal slits in the hot dog? No? Okay. Poke holes in it?
Nope.
No? Just hot dog in the pan?
Poke holes.
Yeah. Poke holes so the steam doesn't bubble up the skin?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want those blisters on it. Those are just a... I'm definitely a small little slices on it. I have tried the slight butterfly hot dog, you know, like the slice down the middle, because I thought maybe it'd be catch the toppings better. I don't like it as much. I think it dries out the hot dog.
Yeah.
I think it, it's good.
I can see that. There's one more I need to mention here because people might be waiting for it, but also I'm happy to know this is a real thing and I didn't just dream it up in Dog City.
Dog City.
Does anybody remember Dog City?
Yeah, by the office, right? I was under the bridge?
No. This was in Seattle. This was at a PAX.
Oh, what was the hot dog place by work? By the office?
What's up, dog?
What's up, dog?
Okay, yeah, what's up, dog is great.
Yes. Okay, so Dog City.
I'm pretty sure you guys were there. It was at a PAX. It was a Seattle PAX. We went to some bar / like pinball museum or pinball. They had a ton of pinball tables.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. We did a lot.
We were there until close.
Okay.
And then got out on the street and somebody was just there selling hot dogs.
Okay.
And they were Seattle dogs. Do you remember this? Mm-mm. The Seattle dog is grilled onions, jalapenos, and cream cheese.
Now
I'm out on that one.
Dude, it was really? So good. I mean,
I'm sure it is, but I don't want that. That's a weird texture to put on a hot dog for me.
Granted, it was 2 a.m. and we needed food.
That sounds like 2 a.m. food.
Oh, that was when we were introduced to Dog City.
Cream cheese.
Or we entered Dog City, I guess I should say. This also lists sriracha on here. I don't think it had that then when I had
cream cheese and sriracha.
But I will tell you, that was a damn fine hot dog. Like, if we were to make another one right now before we pull up on this hot dog quest, it would probably be the Seattle dog. It was good as hell.
Pull up, wheels up on this hot dog quest.
We got a nose up here. This is not going to go well.
Pull up. Hey.
I should experiment more with my hot dog. I kind of do the same hot dog almost every time we have hot dogs. Would you consider a hot dog and a sausage interchangeable in terms of toppings?
No.
Oh, really?
But I feel like as soon as you're subbing some fancier sausage in, then I'm moving to like nicer.
Okay.
Then
that's
when I'm going to like nicer, like grilled onions and sauerkraut.
You're not putting cream cheese on that sausage?
Probably not.
I will put ketchup on a regular hot dog. I will not put ketchup on a sausage.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. So I don't eat hot dogs much anymore, but I will have sausages. The kids eat the hot dogs. That's why I kind of got away from the hot dogs, because the kids will burn through some hot dogs. Also, I kind of, this is weird because I love a hot dog. In this house, I kind of moved away from hot dogs. More sausage or veggie dog, which a veggie dog is pretty much the same as a hot dog. Look, I don't need the fucking meat at all. All the toppings. Like, I think I told you guys the story that time my wife made those hamburgers and I ate the whole thing and forgot to put the burger on it. And it was like, this is delicious. And she's like, you just ate toppings. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of all I really want.
Toppings are delicious. What are you trying toppings, to say? I know toppings are good. Yeah. What?
Who cares? It's just a vehicle. Like, the whole point of this, right, Brad, is you're not talking about the hot dog. We're talking about the toppings.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
There's a hot dog place we went to a few weeks ago around here, and it was one of those places that, like, we saw on one of those Anthony Bourdain shows, and we're just like, we should try this out. It's in Jersey. It's called Hiram's, and it is one of those places that is very resolute in there. We make hot dogs a couple of ways, and we have always made them a couple of ways, and that's it. And they have a whole thing on their wall about how you make your hot dog, and they're like, we offer you ketchup because we sell fries here. Don't fucking put that ketchup on a hot dog. And you can, like, they're not going to stop you. They're not going to kick you out if you do it, but they're going to look at you real funny if you do.
You've broken a rule.
A golden rule.
But Alex, you feel like ketchup on a hot dog, fine. Ketchup on a sausage is more of a sin.
It's not a sin. I just don't want it. If I'm going to the trouble of grilling myself a nice sausage, that's getting the good mustard. That's getting the good vegetables. I'm not going to just drench it in ketchup because that's all it will taste like is ketchup.
Okay.
I fucking hate ketchup.
Yeah. On anything?
Just about.
I don't agree with that.
I would put it on French fries, like the one thing I would put it on, but even that I rarely do at this point.
I'll do ketchup on a sausage or a hot dog, but I wouldn't miss it if it weren't there. I'm much more a hot sauce and a mustard guy. Yeah. And for fries, look, if you gave me the choice, and you could shout at me all you want,
I will.
I'll dip those fries in mayonnaise.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, 100%.
Oh yeah, that's not a yell at you thing. Come on.
Okay, so look, my wife will definitely be like, "Good God, man, don't you have a doctor's appointment in 6 months? What are you doing?" And I'm like, I'm living life.
I'll probably clear it out by then.
What are you doing?
I saw a video appeared before me the other day, though, of somebody making mayonnaise by hand.
Yeah, like, I've done that.
I know exactly what mayonnaise is, but when you see all the components in a jar unemulsified, you know what I mean? Like, just raw.
Just some oil and egg,
like,
baby.
And vinegar, right?
And vinegar, yeah. But like, that emulsifying part is weird. It's like a magic step. It flips.
It was weird to watch, but also just seeing all the components before they had been blended, I was like, man, I love mayonnaise, but this is somehow turning me off a little bit.
Where you're like, oh, it's fat on fat. Uh-huh. It's just,
and raw eggs also.
When I had the first time many, 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 many moons ago, when I was like, oh, I'm going to make some chicken or whatever it was and a gravy. And I'd look up a recipe for gravy. And it was like, now pour all the fat drippings into a pan and add some flour. You have gravy. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, yes.
It's just fat. It's just the fat drippings.
It's fat all the way down, my friend.
It was like a Kaiser Soze moment of like me remembering every time I'd just be like literally drinking gravy after dinner. And just like, oh, God. Oh,
what have I done to myself?
I've got to go like vomit in the shower.
I had that exact same moment like 15 years ago. I was making something. I was by myself cooking and like I was like, man, whatever it was would be good with some gravy on it. And then I just went and looked it up and I was like, what? Wait a minute. What? You can just make gravy?
You just
like, it's that easy?
But it's that easy, but it's also
the pan
drippings and like all the fatty oil that has like, has left the meat.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's bad.
But I'm not saying it's bad, but you gotta know what you're getting
into.
You can get away with just like, you know, like butter and flour types, you know. You can make a gravy with nothing.
Yeah, you could. Is that a gravy? That's like a roux. That's like the base for a gravy. That's like that gravy's just waiting for some more fat. I mean, look, fat's delicious. My problem is I have too much easy access to fats. If I could do it once.
Well, you live in America for one thing. So that's part of it.
Yeah. It's America. I did this 4th of July weekend. I had one hot dog and one hamburger.
Nice.
And that's
a safe regulation amount.
Yeah, that is, and it was a regulation hot dog and a regulation hamburger. Wasn't like a double patty. It wasn't whatever. We did, and this was the first time I ever had gone there for the first time in my life. We did stop at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Uh-huh.
And we stopped there because I remember somebody from Giant Bomb had gone there. It was like Dan or somebody had gone to a Buffalo Wild Wings.
That sounds right.
And I was like, oh, I want to try that. They talked highly of that place at one point. It's all right. Pretty good.
It's pretty middling.
Yeah. Had their hot wings. They were pretty good.
Yeah. They're acceptable.
I think I went there in Seattle again at one point, and also was just like, it was fine.
Yeah.
Like, don't remember much about it now.
No. I didn't get food poisoning. It's fine. Yeah.
I had like a big beer and like some wings. And what did I have? The only other weird thing that was like, oh, I'll try this. Cheese curd, but like fried cheese curd, which was like.
Wait, like poutine?
But like little fried nuggets. It was almost like macaroni and cheese bites, sure. Except without the pasta, obviously. It was, they're all right. Everything's fried. It'll taste the same. Anyway.
Can I say one more thing? Because I was looking at the words macaroni and cheese when you said that.
Yeah.
One other hot dog I'm going to bring up on here. There's all kinds on here. Uh-huh. And I'm a little skeptical that some of these are real. But can somebody in Maryland confirm if this crab mac and cheese dog is a real thing?
It's Maryland. It's believable.
It's literally macaroni and cheese, lump crab meat, and Old Bay seasoning.
Yeah.
Old Bay.
On a hot dog. It.
Yeah.
I have family in Maryland, but I've never had one of those. But I also totally believe that is something Maryland would construct, because Maryland is a very weird place.
I mean, crab mac and cheese is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
But on a hot dog?
Yeah. My kids are like not adventurous mac and cheese eaters, and that makes me sad. They just want plain mac and cheese. And
give it every time.
Like breadcrumbs on a mac and cheese are delicious, and they get freaked out by that if it's at a restaurant. Like no restaurant, unless you're at like a New Jersey diner or New York diner, is just going to give you a plate of mac and cheese. They're always going to do something to spice it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time they order mac and cheese, they get disappointed because it's like, oh, there's like more than mac and cheese on here. I'm like, yeah, because they're charging you
most of the people they're serving
this.
Here are not 8 years old.
Because they're not just 8 year old. Yeah. You order off the kids menu next time. I haven't had like a mac and cheese dinner in a long time.
Well, you also haven't been single in a long time, so that makes sense.
But I've cooked it. Cooked a lot. Yeah. But and I guess I eat the leftover spoonful that's left. But do you guys like mac and cheese? Or it's like,
oh yeah.
I mean, yes.
But I mean, are we talking like the Kraft Blue Box, or are we talking
or like Annie's if you want to get fancy, or whatever.
Yeah, that I can.
Annie's if you nasty.
I can mostly leave that. I mean, I had plenty of that as a kid, but not something I would seek out now.
No, not as an adult.
But would you get it at like in those little like crock things at like a restaurant, like those little ceramic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like nice macaroni and cheese. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Next up. After the hot dog run, regional mac and cheese.
Oh boy!
Oh god!
They must have them. Somebody's
like, oh, definitely they do. Yeah, but
regional macaroni and cheese.
This mac and cheese has a hot dog on top.
Oh boy!
A chili mac and cheese. You know, onion mac and cheese.
Weird. I search for regional mac and cheese, but it is nothing but results about southern macaroni and cheese.
Wow.
Like the entire first page is nothing but that, which like, I mean, I grew up with it. Maybe that's part of my macaroni and cheese snobbery, is that it was like it's like a casserole, you know?
Okay.
It was like something
seriously.
It was something you had at Thanksgiving and Christmas as like a serious thing that somebody put a lot of work into and went in the oven as a casserole type thing.
Sure. Sure. That the family looks forward to like aunt, you know, Jenny's mac and cheese.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see where the if you move on from the Chicago dog, if the journey ends at the Chicago dog.
We got four hot dogs left and four buns left, and I really think it's time to just pull the ripcord. That's one more dinner, and then it's like, all right, we should not get hot dogs again for 6 months.
Yeah, probably not.
If you don't mind me asking, what brand dog are you?
It's kind of whatever we can get. I think we're currently, we got some like ballpark like bun length ones right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, there's all kinds. There's Nathan's. There's
Applegate's. What? Is the one that we have? Applegate's. I don't know. I don't remember. Again, I don't eat the hot dogs too much here.
Yeah, same. It's kind of whatever they have and is, frankly, whatever is bigger than the bun.
Frankly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Frankly.
Whatever like fills out the bun is generally fine with me.
Yeah, there's really nothing sadder than a bun that's too big for a dog.
Yep, that's for sure.
Though I do really dislike, I don't know why, but the buns we wind up getting are never sliced down the middle. They're always sliced like 3/4 of one side and 1/4 on the other side. And it's like,
worst.
Come on, man. Have some pride in your work.
I just want to say, damn work. I just want to say for the record, I'm really proud of all of us for getting through most of that entire conversation without making a whole bunch of sex jokes. So great job, guys.
Yeah. No, now is when we
hot
do
dog fits in the bun, all that stuff. Uh-huh. Like you just sailed right past it.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this ramble cast. Hot dogs. No hamburger talk. That's next year.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we start talking about the buns and all the sex jokes. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Alex Navarro. Stay cool out there in your damn hoodie in your basement.
I'll do my best.
I'm going to sneak over to your place and just crawl up in a corner.
Hey, you want to come post up down here? You're welcome to.
I just might. Brad Shoemaker, say hi to Carl for us.
Will do.
Tell him we could use him down here if he wants to blot out the sun for a couple of hours. You're more than welcome.
You're welcome to have him.
Carl versus the New Jersey sun would be a good, I don't know if Carl would survive or if the sun would just evaporate him.
I don't think so.
Yeah, or Carl. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back next week.